Welcome to this video about trauma healing and the way of resolving suffering in this life. My name is Gopal and I'm working as a trauma therapist for several years now. And some of the core and main principles I would like to share with you in this video, especially valuable for you if you're working as a therapist yourself. What I see here in the European part of the world is that many therapies just fail because the main knowledge about what's going on inside us, what trauma is, how it affects our life and especially relationships, is not there. And therapists try all kinds of things. Mainly just trying to resolve and work on symptoms. And of course, this is not leading to anything that means it's not leading to the actual solution for the client. And clients and people who are suffering, they look around and try this and that. And also, many don't know what to look for, actually, what is really helping me. And so I would like to share my insights and the way I work with people with you, and it can be very, very beneficial for you, as I said before, as a therapist and also as someone who's searching for a solution. The principle or the main principle of trauma healing is to understand that the starting point of all suffering we have is in the mind. So it's different what many therapists and scientists say, that trauma is based in the body and has to be resolved in the body. I also started my career, we could say that, like that. I worked on the physical body with people, but I realized more and more that the body is even, the dysregulation, we call it, the stress in the body, the suffering that, for example, manifests in the body, is still a symptom. It's not the actual cause. It's not the root cause and the origin of the suffering today. So what I realized is that the suffering is recreated in every second new by the mind. And why is that so? Because the circumstances that have led to the traumatization, and I'm talking here about developmental trauma, are not there anymore. The childhood is over. So how can the body still suffer? How is that even possible? So there must be something that recreates the suffering, because on the outside it's open. And yes, some people say it is stored in the body, in for example, in the form of or by tension of muscles or not enough tension in the muscles. But this is not the point. And I understood that as I started to work on the relational patterns, and this is the mind, what we think, what we believe relationship is, what we think, what we believe, how the world is, how other people are. And this idea, what we have about other people, how people behave in relationships, this is the cause of the suffering. And I realized that because as soon as these ideas get overwritten by real experiences of closeness without danger, the body immediately in that second releases its tension. That's what I saw all the time. That's what I see all the time in my work. If I work on the patterns in the mind, the ideas that I have what relationship is, how other people behave, act physically if there's more closeness. If I work on that and help the client to have an experience, a new experience of safe interaction, of closeness and security at the same time, the body releases its stress and its tension. It can't be otherwise. It can't be different, because the tension in the body is only there to prevent the body from danger. Physical tension of the muscles is basically helping the body to survive if it gets attacked physically. But if there's no danger on the outside, if it's just projected by the mind, the tension will not go away. And then I can work on the tension, on the symptom, as long as I want. Yes, I will have temporarily releases and relaxation. But the idea, the relational patterns in the mind are not resolved. So the body will sooner or later build up the tension again, because it still thinks unconsciously that other people are dangerous if I come close to them. So this is my, the basis of my approach. Now, if we understand what life is, what relationship is, then we see it consists actually only of two movements. And this is either moving towards another, so creating more closeness, or becoming more independent, that means creating more distance, moving away from someone or from something that is dangerous. So these two movements build what we call life. This is life. It consists of these two movements. That's what I can do. I can approach something because there's something I need, I want. Or I can move away from something that is dangerous or create suffering for me. And these two movements, of course, act in the physical body on the biological level, which makes absolutely sense. Yeah, if I need food, I go somewhere where there's food. If there's danger, I run away. But these two movements also build our relationships. A relationship, what is called interaction or being together, consists of these two movements, physically, but more relevant emotionally. And we have to look, what does that mean? What does that mean to come closer or to become more independent? What does that mean on the relational level? On the relational level, we create more closeness by sharing something that is inside of us, especially our emotions. That creates more closeness. And the closest, that what creates the deepest intimate connection, contact, is if we share our core emotions. And these are anger and hate, and sadness and loneliness. It would go too far to explain why these are the core emotions. This is another topic, maybe for another video, but just remember, if you want, or if you look inside, the deepest movements inside of you, if we are honest, is the emotion of hate and the emotion of sadness. With these emotions, the most life energy is connected. And if we are able to share that in a close relationship, we have the most intense energy flow that is possible. And if we are able to do that, we can say we are happy. Yeah, we are we are able to communicate everything that is inside of us. And these emotions, these core emotions, are connected with our core needs. Yeah. So the core needs of closeness and independence are connected with these two emotions. And one or both of them have been, how do you say, have been, I don't know how to explain that, were not fulfilled in childhood. So if we come closer to another person in a relationship, these two emotions come up because they represent the unresolved developmental trauma. And if we are not able to share that, then we suffer. But the reason why we are not able to share these emotions, these core emotions, which would resolve our problem, which would dissolve our suffering, is in the mind. We don't share them because we think. And now I come back to the start. It's in the mind. We think that if we share these emotions, the connection would be destroyed. And the connection in the imagination will be destroyed by a movement, by a physical movement of my partner, of the other. And this is by attacking me or by running away from me. And there are two others. We could say by freezing, if the other is freezing and ignoring myself, or manipulating me. So this is the whole, this is how it is all connected. So because of the childhood experience, I think, I believe, I absolutely deeply believe that it is not possible to share one or two of my core emotions, because I still believe that the other would react in one of the four biological defense reactions that is being attacked. So attacking me, running away from me, ignoring me, or manipulating me. And in the therapy, in my floating process, I have called it floating, my method, we look at these ideas we have, what we believe, or projections, what we believe the other would do if I share my core emotions. And then the client asks the other, his partner, in the group setting, if he would do that. And then the person, the client, for the first time maybe in his life, hears something from the other according, or that has to do with his core emotions. And the typical case, or to make an example, to make it more understandable, if someone believes, if I share my anger, if I share, I feel hatred, then I believe the other would separate from me. And then he asks, would you go away from me if I tell you, or if I say to you, I feel hatred? Then in the most cases, the other would say, no, if you just share it with me, no problem, I can deal with it. And as soon as the client hears that, something shifts in the nervous system. The old relational pattern, the destructive relational pattern, gets overwritten. And there are other typical ideas, projections we have. For example, if I would share that I feel sad, would you cross my borders? And then the other says, no, of course not. If you feel sad, if you share with me that you feel sad, I maybe would ask you why or what you need. And then again, something shifts. The pattern in the mind gets overridden by real experiences. And then the body can relax, because the whole nervous system realizes that it's safe with that person. And even if the person would say that he has a problem with that, with this sharing, even then it would override the pattern. Yeah, because we have two grown-ups who are able to share what's going on inside of them in relation to the other. And this is not relevant what's there. The sharing itself, the capacity to share, is the transformation that creates the connection and thus the regulation of the nervous system. And if that happens once, the client realizes, okay, wow, so I experienced that once. So that means my idea that my emotions, my core emotions, cannot be shared at all with no one is nonsense. It's not true. And then something fundamentally changes in the life of the client. Everything changes because the whole life, the mind, the body state, what appears on the outside is based on these core structures. For example, I have to suppress my anger because I believe that the other, and so on, and so on. Or I have to suppress my need, my sadness, my loneliness, because if I share that, then the other, blah, 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 blah. This is the fundament, this is the basement, the basis of our lives. Of course, unconscious, completely unconscious. So these interactions lead to a real change. And the great thing is, it does not need years of therapy. It needs usually 30 minutes to 1 hour. So what I do in the floating process is to help two people get in contact in the way I described that. And there to not use their defense mechanism, from acting out in attacking, running away, ignoring or manipulation, to sharing what's there. This is the solution. If you want to find out more of that, I would recommend my events. You find them on gopalevents.com. There you can take part in group processes like the floating I mentioned, but you also can be part of individual sessions that I do in front of groups. So you can more and more dive into that understanding and find out if something resonates with that inside of you.